And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Peter Barry, is entitled Northeast of Gaza.
In the 20 years that I had served the rabbi, he had told me often, Speak you with a soft tongue, Joshua, for to the wise a fullness of sound is but the echo from a hollow head. And yet that night, as I tended the horses in the courtyard stable, the voice of Akiba ben Joseph rose sharply on the air.
Better my tongue rot in my jaws.
Rabbi.
You bid me hold my peace, approve with my silence the barbarity of the Roman eagle. It sets the teeth of my soul on edge and brings the gorge up, swelling in my throat.
Not ever in full a score of years had I heard him speak so. And heart pounding, I left off my task and stole to the open window. In the handful of seconds that fled by, he had conquered the rage that had galled him. Aye, he sat in his carven chair, smiling his famed and gentle smile at the three elders of Jerusalem who stood before him. Melech ben Lamar, the master of many acres, Itzhar ben Kophis, builder of ships, and Joseph ben Hamalel, whose trading in all manner of things made his name known from Hamadan to the Isle of Cyprus. He it was who spoke now.
We do but submit a request, Rabbi, implore you, so to say.
'Tis I who implore you, brothers, each man for his pardon.
Nay.
I bespoke you ill and savagely.
To urge a point.
In Judea only God may thunder. I trust that I have earned your displeasure with my spleen, and won no point at all.
For our displeasure is of no moment, beloved Akiva. It is the displeasure of Tineus Rufus we beg you to avoid. The displeasure of Rome herself.
Wherein, Hamalel, have I risked incurring that displeasure?
On Sabbath last, if I may speak plain.
Trust me to do so.
On Sabbath last, before the congregation, you lamented the old days, the good days.
The good days, you called them, did you not?
Were they not good, Ben Kophis? Were they not sunlit by contrast with the blackness of these times?
Forgive me, Rabbi, but that is not to the point.
No?
Again, forgive me, no.
They are not fools, the Romans. Think you these masters of the world miss any slightest hint of treason? These good days of yours differ from now only in that they were not amongst us. Is this not so?
And if it be?
Then were you not decrying them, Akiva?
Aye, he was decrying them. On the open floor of the temple, decrying them.
God judge me, but I supposed I was decrying hunger and suffering.
You will bring the wrath of Hadrian upon us.
I hoped that my words might in some way persuade Hadrian and his governor to lighten the agony of the wrath that is already upon us. In Gaza, brothers, in this week of fear, 20 Judeans are slain daily in the market square before the eyes of the loved ones.
That was a measure undertaken by Governor Rufus because of the rebellion in Gaza.
I heard of no rebellion.
The name of Bar Kokhba has not come to your ears?
Aye.
You know not he has gathered a rabble army at Gaza in open defiance of Rome Imperial?
I fear me in the night that Bar Kokhba's rashness will bathe us all in blood.
So do we all.
But his force, good Itzhar, is made up of many men from many places. Is it reason that the peaceful people of Gaza perish because this rustic hothead encamps somewhere north and east of them in the wilderness of the hills?
Gaza taxes to Caesar are unpaid.
4 months unpaid.
And these peaceful people of yours murmur with rebellion in the streets.
They murmur with starvation in the streets. They and all our brethren.
Is it Caesar's fault our crops have failed?
It lies somewhere near his door that his legions have stripped us of our harvest. Do you plead Caesar's case before me, Amalia? Come you here to persuade me of the beneficent innocence of the Roman? If so, your suit is vain. If you be unaware, let me tell you. There is a ship laden with Persian grain from the fields of Shiraz lying under Roman blockage in the Joppa port.
There is some loss to me in the matter.
Loss to you and famine for Gaza and Ammon and Galilee. They hold the vessel laden midway the masts with supplies for fear the little silver left in the land be spent for grain before it can be torn from the people for Caesar's coffers.
Hear me.
Hear me. Is it a marvel, Bar Kokhba, father's rebels, when Rome so inflames the salt draw soul of mankind?
All that to nothing.
To nothing, say you?
Evil is upon us, aye, yet withal. What will you gain us by your heedless speeches?
When became it heedless, Amalel, peaceably to speak the truth?
On the day of our conquest, Rabbi.
What would you have me do then?
We would have you put caution above all things. Lest you bring destruction upon such men as Ben Coffus here and Ben Lamar and myself, who contrive to traffic and prosper still, though the heel of Rome is on our throats.
You ask this of me?
Aye, and within our rights we ask it.
What you say reflects upon us. You are our rabbi.
I have heard it said that you are the one man in Judea whom Rufus respects and fears. In his eyes, Akiba, you are our spokesman.
You do mistake me, Hamalev. And you, Miller, and Yitzhak. I am a rabbi in Israel. But your spokesman am I no longer.
When they had departed, he sat, his thoughts gathered unto himself. And the hours passed, and the night deepened. Slept he at all, I knew he would slumber in his chair, and I pillowed my head in the corner behind him, and, sorrowing for his sorrows, dozed.
Akiba!
On the threshold, a young man stood, panting and wild-eyed. I knew him for a hill-dweller far come to seek out my master.
Rabbi Akiba! Needs must I speak with you, Rabbi.
Approach, then.
I am called Simeon.
Simeon?
Simeon, son of Matzi.
Whence do you come?
From Gaza.
Gaza?
Upon the business and the bidding of our leader, Bar Kokhba, son of a star.
Bar Kokhba?
Bar Kokhba sent you to me?
In hottest haste and all reverence. Rabbi, he would have you with him.
With him?
He bade me tell you that only the glory of your name can win our cause full honor in men's eyes.
I see.
And only thy presence in our ranks can bring us recruits in sufficient number to strike a blow at Rome.
Then do I bid you tell him this.
I
will have no part in his rebellious madness.
Rabbi.
And that if he be ruled by me, he will disband his force and send each separate man home to his own fireside.
Disband? Wherefore? There is no strength in all Judea save for us.
There is a strength beyond your dreaming in Judea.
I know it not.
Nay?
Nay.
Know you not God, Simeon?
Aye, but Bar Kokhba is of God.
What mean you?
He's the very Messiah, Master.
He has thus said?
Aye.
And shown signs to prove it?
Many signs.
Relate to me.
With my own eyes, I saw him unaided lift up the gates of a desert village from their roots. And later, before a multitude, raise 4 men upon his shoulders and run with them a mile in the noonday heat.
What more?
Much more, all of a kind and wondrous.
Do I hear you rightly? Think you the Messiah will be a juggler or a beast of burden? That he shall prove himself in such a wise?
But I...
But a fool could put faith in these antics.
I see that you will not, but 4,000 and 1,600 others have.
How say you?
4,000 and 1,600 good men and brave lie with Bar Kokhba in the hills northeast of Gaza, dedicated bone and blood to Judea's liberation. I claim not their wise men, but if they be fools, then proud am I to be a fool amongst them. Peace be with thee, Akiba.
And Simeon ben Matzi departed, and my master withdrew into his silence and sat without speech until the sun was high and hot in the heavens. It was hotter and higher when Tineus Rufus, governor of Judea, reclined on a couch in his palace on the city's edge and looked up into the handsome face of the young man who was pouring red wine into his sculptured onyx cup.
Gian, wherefore do you frown thus on so bright a morning?
The morning could be brighter, Excellency.
What's gone afoul?
Today, I would not disturb my lord's tranquility.
Speak when I bid you.
Aye, my lord. Today, in the dark before cockcrow, Marcus Zealous, captain of the watch, sighted one of Bar Kokhba's henchmen emerging from the house of Akiba ben Yosef.
Aha, then. So our gentle wise man keeps rebel company. My tranquility shall survive, Gian. Bring the man before me.
Akiba was not arrested, Excellency. Zealous did abide by your order that he not be molested.
I had scarce thought otherwise, Gion. 'Tis the visitor from Gaza, I would see.
But I fear me, my lord, he slipped us.
Huh? Zealous shall roast for this. Aye, by the gods, he shall be flayed to the pulp and burned, screaming on the city walls.
If I dare speak for him, Excellency...
At your own peril, dare you?
At my own peril, then. I say no man could have done better. The stranger led Zealous and his troop a chase through dwellings and courtyards that only a fox might follow.
Or raise they no hue and cry?
Aye, Excellency.
And there were not some citizens astir to lay hands on him?
There were many astir.
So then?
They aided him escape.
Nay.
Aye. They lied that they'd seen him not, concealing him from the watch, and as Zealous swears, passed him from house to house and out into the waste beyond the city gates.
Did they, then?
Zealous takes his oath upon it.
Then I take mine that they'll sweat richly for it. Akiba, leave to me. He is a prudent man of massive intellect, and I think that reason, spiced with flattery, may serve to bring him round to our support. But for the rest of our Judeans, for the whole rebellious rout and rabble of them...
Yes, Excellency?
Let there be 50 slain in every town and village, while in Jerusalem...
Aye.
To spur its loyalty... I set the number, Gion, at 5,000.
Halt! Open ye! Open in the name of Mighty Caesar!
They do cower under the bedclothes, chattering their prayers.
Do ye open, or do we stand defied? Down with the door, then!
There they be, cowering like rats.
Mercy, mercy, mercy in the name of God.
Say me not, and I shall bless you. Say me not, and I shall bless you. Say me not.
My Israel. Ah!
The day waned, but the slaughter thrived. It thrived still with the setting of the sun, and the moon rising cast its light on fresh shed blood. And all the while my master Akiba knelt corpse-like and rigid, his hands clenched in an agony of prayer. Wailing and shrieking echoed still from the terrible darkness of the streets when... A smiling Roman in a purple tunic appeared on our threshold.
Behold, Akiba, thy house is honored. The procurator of Judea and the right arm of Caesar Adrian deigns to visit you. His Imperial Excellency Rufus Tineus.
I greet you, Rabbi.
Peace be with you.
How fair the night, how precious, wondrous. Hast seen how gloriously Diana rides the heavens, Rabbi?
The moon is bright. Tineus Rufus?
The governor, and it pleases you, is addressed as Excellency.
Oh, now then, Gion. Let be, let be. Akiba is, in many ways, my equal. And, as I have often said, familiarity among the great is for... Oh, I do regret me of this massacre. The Empire makes no friends with bloodshed. But it was that fool Bar Kokhba forced me to it. He is a fool. Is he not, Akiba?
Mayhap.
Mayhap. He calls himself your messiah. Is he your messiah? This bumpkin bandit, living like a beast in the hills northeast of Gaza?
The ultimate messiah, I fear me, has not come. But there is, in many men, a messianic tinge and the touch of God's sweet strength upon them. Bar Kokhba, whom I have never seen, may well be one of these.
Whatever he be, he's nonetheless a fool.
If ye say so.
Not because I say so. Come, look at the facts. What is his purpose, this raging rebel? What, in the long run, is his aim?
To relieve the oppressed, I think, and help the suffering poor.
Oh, sweet gods on high Olympus, to help the poor. How much I hear this from your Jewish mouths. How come you to this urge to help the poor?
What is thy urge?
To turn away from them, to turn in loathing as I turn from a leper.
We turn to them, Roman. Our God loves the poor.
Well, this cannot be. I say it cannot be. If he loves them, why does he not provide for them? Nay, do not answer me. Let me quote you a parable, oft cited by our priests and statesmen. Now, suppose a human king was angry with his slave, imprisoned him, and ordered that he was not to be provided with food and drink. And then the person goes and feeds him and offers him to drink. When the king hears of it, will he not be angry?
If I may offer you a more appropriate parable, suppose that a human king was angry with his son, imprisoned him, and ordered that he was not to be provided with food or drink. And then a person goes and feeds him and offers him to drink. When the king hears of it, will he not love him for it?
Aye, truly, master.
Is it your custom to permit a servant to trespass upon the conversation?
Joshua is my friend. A friend cannot trespass.
Come, Geon. You are a most unusual creature, Akiba. A giant, by contrast, with the run of mankind.
You are most gracious.
Oh, I am but practical. Your mentality is dazzling, but you belong in Rome. This is no theater for your talents. This barren pasture, this roost of goat herds called Judea.
Nonetheless, I will remain here.
We will see if you remain here. We will see if anyone remains.
How say you?
Geon?
Aye, my lord.
Put me in mind tomorrow to dispatch a letter to Caesar, naming Judea as a danger spot to the Empire and urging our traditional remedy of putting the populace to the sword and sowing the earth with salt.
When Rufus Tineus had gone forth, the moon continued to climb toward center heaven, dripping its sheen across the world until the far horizon shimmered alive with the brilliance of its beauty. From the window, I watched my master pace the cobblestones of the courtyard, backward, forward, hour by hour, until near midnight.
Akiba!
Who's there?
'Tis I, Hamalel.
What would you hear, my brother?
Your house was honored, I am told, by a visit from Rufus Tineus.
It shall be scoured from end to end tomorrow.
Rabbi.
I?
Rabbi, I do not think that you will be here tomorrow.
Not be here?
To be fair to Tineus, he came to you in peace.
Through streets afloat with blood he came.
Aye, but nonetheless he came in peace, they say. And you displeased him mightily.
Not more than he did me.
Your displeasure matters little.
To me it matters much.
But Tineus is in power. Aye, he's in power. And how to say it?
Do you try to tell me something?
Aye.
Then say it out.
I have it on authority.
Well?
On the best authority.
Say it, man, and have done.
He has ordered your arrest at dawn tomorrow.
My arrest?
I...
My arrest?
But you may be of good cheer, Akiba.
May I?
There will be no dungeons, no questioning. On the same good authority, I have it...
Have what?
That you will be transported comfortably to Rome.
To Rome?
And once there, it will be a little matter of some small unbending of your pride and the swearing of allegiance to Hadrian, and after that, they will heap you high with wealth and honors.
They will?
Aye.
Wherefore will they?
Wisdom and scholarship are much revered by the Romans. They have so little of such things themselves. Fear not, I bid you.
Yeah, I fear naught but God without thy bidding. Peace be with thee.
Rabbi.
Aye?
I have known you since boyhood and loved you. Love you still for all your stiff-necked stubbornness.
I would be alone, Marlowe.
And I would not have you troubled by this matter. Look, you. I'll wager you'll be thankful for the change when you and I stroll the Appian Way this spring together.
Together?
I leave for Rome myself tomorrow.
Upon what business?
Upon the business of my life. You've heard of a religion called Serapis?
A religion? No, a savage Roman cult of pagan gods. Why ask you me of Serapis?
Why, I have sought admission to its ranks, and admission has been granted me.
Amala, you jest with me.
Nay, your keeper.
It must be jest. Surely you'd not sacrifice your faith for this grinning pantheon of marble idols.
It will assure me of some prominence in Rome.
Now, for a certainty, you mock me. You could not desert our ancient nation for prominence amidst the barbarians.
Our ancient nation, Rabbi, is deserting us.
What mean you?
It is ending as all nations must end, and though we may mourn it, it is over long due for the tomb.
No.
I consider you. Imperial Egypt is these many centuries dead. Babylon's a goat hill, and Assyria a desert. We have lingered on beyond their time and ours. But now the death knell is sounding.
It shall never sound.
Surely you are not mad enough to think that we shall survive when these great war gods who made the earth quake beneath their feet have perished.
I do not think it, Amalel. I know it in the core of my bones.
Wherefore?
Because we are not war gods. Because we have never made earthquakes to swallow both ourselves and those we pillage. A little people are we, priests of the flowering good of love and labor and learning. And there is no reason under the face of God why we must ever die.
When the sun rose, they marched in across the courtyard to arrest my master. And they found the doors open and the house resounding with his voice singing the maxims of the Torah. In time, Bar Kokhba moved against the Roman power. For a while, he seemed to move from strength to strength. But in the end, he and his brave men fell under the Roman heel. Akiba perished also for the cause. He was caught and tried on the charge of teaching the Torah in defiance of the Roman edicts. He died a martyr's death. But it was no lost cause. These 20 centuries later, the Roman eagle lies junked in the blunder room of history, alongside the swastika and the fasces. But Akiba's flowering good still flourishes triumphant. This was inevitable, for only good is consonant with triumph. High and sweet it grows, tended in the ages in between by many men who, with a touch of God, have girded on their swords and ridden out to the hills northeast of Gaza.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Rabbi Samuel S. Ruderman, spiritual leader of Temple Beth El in Fall River, Massachusetts. Rabbi Ruderman.
What we have just heard is more than a dramatization of a specific episode of history. Rather, is it a parable of universal relevance and unceasing timelessness. In our story, the setting was ancient Palestine under the heel of Hadrian. But has not the same tragedy been enacted with dreary endlessness? Always there is the oppressor, and always there are the conquered and the humiliated. Always there are the conscienceless collaborators who contrive to traffic and prosper, though the heel of Rome is on their throats. And always there is the resistless temptation under unbearable provocation to fight force with force. But yes, there is one variation in this story. There is Akiba himself. In our story, he looms out of the miasma of that ancient treachery, a spiritual giant, a mountain of wisdom and faith and courage. You are mistaken, Hamaleel, he rebukes the collaborationist who urges allegiance to the emperor. I am a rabbi in Israel. My allegiance is to God. When importuned to join the forces of rebellion, he warns that reliance on force is misguided. There is strength beyond your dreamer in Judea, Simeon. Know you not God? And supremely there is that unconquerable faith. As long as a people remains true to itself, it can never die. Surely you are not mad enough to think that we shall survive when these great war gods have perished, he is challenged. And his faith is electric. I do not think it, Hamaleel. I know it in the core of my bones. A little people are we, priests of the flowering good of love and labor and learning. And there's no reason under the face of God why we must ever die. Akiba still lives. Down through the ages, the generations have venerated his memory and have drawn nourishment from his courage and faith and inspiration. Let all tyrants take heed. Let all the oppressors beware. The future belongs to the spirit of Akiba.
Thank you, Rabbi Ruderman. Our eternal eye drama today, Northeast of Gaza, was written by Peter Barry. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Peter Capel, Roger DeCoven, Bert Cowlin, Louis Soren, Lynn Cook, Ronald Lang, Chet Stratton, Grant Richards, and Lottie Stavisky. The narrator was Alexander Scorby. This is Mel Brandt. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.